it wasn't like I was just working for some schmo who, like, I didn't know.
See, Abram, I'm not a schmo. According to Nick. Hey, welcome to Talent Talks Podcast. It is a hosted podcast by Titus Talent Strategies. And Titus, we exist to equip companies to make the best attraction, hiring, engagement, and development decisions. Every company out there has got an objective, why they exist, and I am willing to bet that it takes people to get them there and to accomplish your goals. And so that's what we're passionate about. And Talent Talks is the podcast all about getting people in who have got a great story, people who have a great story, they're in the space of talent, and they're telling talent stories, and they're figuring things out in that space. People that I find fascinating. So welcome my guest today, sitting here with Nick Kreuter. And I've known Nick for many years, and get to work with him recently in the last year or so, maybe 18 months, identified him as somebody who could tell stories in a very, very creative way. Stories about talent, stories about people, stories about culture, stories about mission, stories about purpose. And I was like, I got to work with this guy. And so I've had the privilege of working with Nick for the last year. So welcome, Nick Kreuter, sit here.
Thanks.
It's good to have you here. So I'm just trying to think, like, a couple of years back in the whole space of talent, like, the whole my mind was going down this road of people have to be gripped by purpose. They've got to be, companies have got to have a purpose that gets people excited about.
Yeah.
I love the whole, like, sort of Simon Sinek, you know, start with why. Like, why do you exist? Why do you just keep peeling it back? But you have a real gift in the art of storytelling, specifically video and creative works. All right. Do me a favor, and for our listeners here, just rewind back in your mind, and, like, what were some of the conversations we started having a couple of years back? And because we're both dreamers, both visionary type individuals, what was the story that you remember? Because it might be different than me.
Yeah, no.
Give us a little bit about backstory.
Yeah, I'm sure it is a little bit different, but I think one of the main ones was kind of just this. Like, actually, it started back way back for me, seeing, you know, I've been your friend for a long time.
Yeah,
a long time. Well, 16 years. But the thing that I started seeing was just, you know, some of my friends would be, you know, a part of Titus, and you know, we kind of had this, like, culture of people that started, like, you know, some of our friends were just kind of going up the ranks in Titus. And I mean, I remember Raul, you know,
yeah.
Like, I lived with Raul for a while. So I, you know, he was, like, employee number one, you know.
Exactly. Remember that.
Yeah. For future. Yeah.
No. So Raul was one of, about a decade back. Great friend. We'd been worked in previous companies together. And so funny story, like, that Raul was the first employee after me. I recruited Raul to come and join us on this wild journey. And that's funny. So you were living with Raul back then?
Yeah. Yeah. So I remember the whole transition for him. I remember, I was really close with him. So it, you know, the whole thing was kind of in my view. And again, I mean, obviously professionally, personally, there's always, like, kind of like, I wonder what happens with Titus. Like, I wonder what they do. You know, I mean, I think everybody, unless you, like, you work with them pretty consistently.
Yeah.
It's almost like everyone's kind of like, what does Titus do again? You know? Yeah. Which I kind of like a little bit, because there's, like, we do everything, you know? but anyway, long story short, I started seeing all that, and obviously I know you. So I started seeing how cool it was I watched as, like, your convictions, like, matched with, like, the kind of professional world that you were in, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it's hard for me as a friend to not admire that. And, like, for you to kind of, you know, leave your old job, with, you know, you have a family and that kind of thing. And just because, like, that's just not how people are treated. You know, I mean, your level of conviction was the thing that always made me go, oh, wow. Like, wow, maybe there is something different. And for me, I'm a naysayer through and through. Like, I, especially with like the professional world, I'm so like this, like, punk mindset of like, yeah, it's still people making money. You know what I mean? Like, it's still a bunch of people who, like, you know, it's not that radical, right? Yeah. There are other things that are more radical, which, again, I mean, there are, and that's fine. Maybe radical is not the right word, right. But I don't know if I believed it all the way, right?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we got, we kind of got closer in the past mm-hmm. couple of years, more or less like peers as well, mm-hmm. which is cool. But I think it kind of started with, with, just getting into video first, and you were a big catalyst for that. And, you know, giving me the freedom to be able to do that. But also, like, starting when I first got into video mm-hmm. specifically, I was working with professionals, and we were like, I mean, it was recruiters, you know, and I was like starting to develop their brands, as it were, you know, and I kept seeing this, like, this idea come through. And obviously you're talking to Joel, later. And he was the one that started it all for me.
Yeah.
So to be honest, I mean, it's like, he's kind of the pioneer there. Yeah. I don't want to take credit for that, but as far as video goes, I got really interested in like this deeper storytelling because the branding thing started to become more prevalent, personal branding and all that kind of stuff. It's like some people latched on, some more than others. Like, one, like Joel would be one that's like all in. He wants to tell his story and figure out how to tell his story better to the world, right? Now, there are some people that kind of like dip their foot, you know?
Yeah.
And we saw that with some of our clients when I worked with Joel, and it was like, it was annoying because you're trying to really, like, you know, be committed and develop this, like, this real, like, deep story brand for someone.
Yeah.
And kind of go all the way, you know, to the point of, like, you know, telling backstory and getting into their life. And, you know, like, again, it was like the whole Gary V thing of, like, obviously that's, like, you know, at that point it was the pinnacle, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just was like annoyed because people would be like, you know, they'd pay us, but they just didn't see the value of video. You know, they didn't see the value of like face to face, like a title screen, this really nice branded thing. And then you come up and it's like they have this face to face one-on-one thing, you know? Anyway, not to mention all the stuff that could be, all the content that could be made, you know, based on that. So anyway, long story short, again, we got closer and I started kind of nudging you in that way of like, hey, maybe this would be a good thing for Titus.
Yeah.
You know? So I started that kind of journey with you and we kind of were like, maybe let's make a YouTube, show almost, you know?
Yeah.
And obviously there's a lot of things, personal and professional happening. So it was almost like, it was like a glimmer of something, you know?
Yeah.
And that was my first time of like this, bringing this whole like creative and business together, you know? But it was so helpful because I believed in you as a person. So it wasn't like I was just working for some schmo who like I didn't know.
See, Abram, I'm not a schmo. According to Nick. I'm not just some schmo.
Yeah, he's not. I don't know which camera to look at. Like, so then we started that thing.
Yeah.
And that's where I was, again, like, I remember
the thing being, let's try some personal branding.
Yes.
That was the thing.
Yes.
You know, it was like not a company thing. It was kind of this odd thing on the side.
Yeah. And for me, I've always seen that as like something that can funnel into, but again, you know, like you being a CEO, there's like this weird, like, is this a conflict of interest or, you know, like, am I doing something, you know? Anyway, but I remember when we got together with Chris Megason.
Yeah.
And
he, for everyone's sake, he's he's the president of a not-for-profit in San Diego, doing some crazy awesome stuff with getting people out of the cycle of poverty and homelessness, and it was awesome. So
yeah, okay. I mean, just incredible. And again, I was like, in my head, I was like, yeah, we'll see. He's probably a hippie, and you know, I don't know. He just
a lot of bias going on in you.
Oh, 100%. I was like, we'll see, you know.
Yeah.
So we went, and it was like, it was amazing. Mm-hmm. And I got totally like envisioned for purpose,
yeah,
and profits.
Yeah.
Really. Yeah. I mean, you know, and them kind of like
how they work together. Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. And I thought like what we were doing, you know, ended up, I mean, we got like a lot of views on those videos. And I mean, I think at some point, like Titus, the most amount of views at that point was,
yeah,
like, I don't know, like 800 or something.
Yeah.
I think we got like 7,000 views on one of those videos, which again, it's not about that. It's not necessarily about that,
yeah,
but the idea of like the audience that saw it was really locked.
Engaged. Yeah. Engaged, totally. Yeah.
Engaged in the story. And I think that was like, man, how can we do this with, you know, the vision of like doing this with more backing.
Yeah.
And for like an actual company.
Yep. Yeah.
Would definitely like, would be interesting at the least, you
yeah
know, and then, you know, fast forward to, you know, I made the culture video.
Yeah.
And I think that's when it seemed like a lot of believers kind of came to the surface.
Oh yeah.
You know, where it was like, okay, there's this clear joining, right?
Yeah.
Of this artsy fartsy. Everybody thought like, you know, artsy kind of like,
he's a creative.
Yeah. Like fly by night type thing.
Yeah.
But then somehow it communicated the culture and the atmosphere mm-hmm of the company well enough to where everybody was like, why wasn't this a thing before? You know?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I was really happy about that because that's what I was trying to do. I was trying to bring this whole thing
yeah
that I've seen for years with Titus, which is like
yeah
this like high performing company, you know, there's
yeah
a barrier to entry that's like,
yeah,
hey, there's excellence here.
Mm-hmm.
But also there's this real, and this comes from, you know, being your friend. It's like, there's a real sense of conviction of like people first.
You yeah
know? And that's very rare. And so that is a very hard thing unless you're like, unless you're in the mix, it's very yeah difficult to
yeah
to communicate that.
Yeah, I think that's been a part of our story, the whole people first thing. Like, what does that really mean, being a people first company over profits? We talk about people over profits or people before profits. And you're like,
yeah,
all right, but what does that really mean? Because yeah we're a business. We are a for-profit company. Like,
it's not a family.
It's not family. I was like, oh, welcome to the Titus family. And I'm like, no, I've tried to fire my family members and it doesn't work.
Very different.
Yeah, really different. You get in trouble. Like, I'm cutting you off. That's it, you know. But I'm 7 years old. No.
That didn't.
No, I didn't. I've not tried to cut my seven-year-old off. Other age kids? Maybe. But yeah, it is not family. It's not family. It's business. Yeah. And we actually do exist for profits. But what's the why behind it?
Yeah.
So we exist to generate wealth for giving back to our people and communities. That's why we exist.
Yeah.
And so telling, like saying people first, it's like the lens is what's best for the people that would attract the people and they want to be a part of this great company and grow their careers, et cetera. And how do we develop in them, invest in them, et cetera. But it is for an end game, and the end game is profits. And so why do you do it? Well, it's profits so we can give and profits so we can make the world a better place. And I think that's it dawned on me when you were kind of like, do you need to do some more personal brand stuff? And I remember like, what are you talking about? Like, I'll just follow you around with a camera. I'm like, this is getting weird, you know, like, totally. And I'm like, I'm running a business, Nick. Like, I'm not an actor. I'm not a model. You didn't object to me on that one at all. You're like, well, but I'm not a model, not an actor. I'm not this. I just do what I do. And you're like, yeah, I was just going to film you do what you do. But then we got to this point where I'm like, okay, I'm not how do I incorporate this? That's actually, because everything we do at Titus, we offer to our clients, and it's got to make sense. If it doesn't, if it makes sense for us, it's got to make sense for them too. That why would they pay money for this? And when I started seeing some of your work you were doing, I'm like, culture videos. How do we still tell story? And our internal recruiting team, I just kind of, you did a culture video for us. And we should probably stick it on the show notes down there, you know, when people do that. Totally. They'll put a link to the culture video that Nick did, to the first one he did. What it did for us, it brought a sense of everybody in the company, you know, the team, the employees were like, they love the company culture, but it brought this kind of level of story and pride that they could share. Because when you experience something that really is remarkable, you want to tell everybody about it. And they could show family members what they're a part of. And friends and past colleagues. And I suddenly saw our internal recruitment, the amount of people we were hiring that came from internal referrals, people introducing their and telling their friends about it and colleagues and recruiting people, that percentage went up. And I think a big part of it was not because they were the same employees before. And I think one of it was they were given a way to articulate a story and tell story that really empowered them and gave a sense of, you know, pride. And I think at that point I'm like, okay, I can see this on a bigger level. And then my eyes have started being open to, it's not just culture videos. It's videos that actually give people a sense of that what we do matters.
Yeah.
And so that's when I had this, the idea we started talking about, wouldn't it be cool? So for our listeners, you may have know this already, or I've already mentioned, profits are for making the world a better place. And so we have a huge giving component to what we do and kind of some wicked goals of, well, not wicked goals, they're the opposite of wicked, heavenly goals.
Super wicked.
Super heavenly goals of our goals by 2030 is to give away $30 million over a decade back to our people and to communities and to just transform the world. So that's the big end game. But I realized that through like engagement surveys and all this kind of stuff, that actually, I remember sitting talking to you about this. I'm like, I just got a hunch that the meaning, the greater meaning and purpose for employees around what we do. I could write a check or something, but and I can feel really good. I don't physically write checks, but what's giving you some money? It can feel good for me. I'm like, oh, I like that. Because psychologically, generosity is really good. Feels good. So I'm like, oh, I love this. This is really purposeful. But the rest of the team weren't getting to do that. So I could tell them a story, but it didn't feel the same. I'm like, oh, yeah, well, we wrote a check. We made a conscious choice to give to things that our team members care about. And you're like, wouldn't it be cool if we could film like where the money's going and tell the story of these not-for-profits and how it's transforming kids' lives. And we've got a big thing where we just love supporting and seeing kids' lives change because it's generational. And it's like, how do we change the next generation? And how do we tell those stories in video? How do we tell those stories, period?
Yeah.
And the way that actually every person in our company goes, that video makes me feel good about what I do today. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't even there. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even press the button. I didn't actually go to hand them the big check. Oh, we should not do that. But,
we need to do that next
time. I have never wanted to be, sorry if you do this, but if somebody out there, but I've never wanted to be the company that holds up the giant check.
Publisher's Clearinghouse.
Yeah, I just like, can't do it. You know? Yeah. I'm just like, what the heck, you know, with my name all over it, you know. It's just so like, you know, it's like a publicity thing, right? Yeah. It's like, oh, let me show you how good I am. Like, oh, come on. Like, I'm like, but there's another part which is like, oh, no, the secret giving thing is really cool. But I'm like, actually, it doesn't make our team members feel the purpose of meaning. So we've got to tell the story where we can do it in a very tasteful, classy way.
Yeah. That's on brand.
On brand, exactly. Which I was really nervous. I'm like, first of all, when any time I have conversations with people about culture videos or videos about the positions that they're hiring for or just anything to do with what they're doing, there's a couple of people go, oh, I don't want that kind of like, come on down to Bob's Car Sales, we got a new shipment of lots, you know, like, oh, what the heck, you know, that was my American impression. There's that kind of fear, like, oh, I don't want that. There's another one which is like, what, how much is this going to cost? Don't people do it on their iPhone these days? You know, and you're like, yes, you could do that, you know. That's great for your Instagram story, but not great for the Eurosho company's brand of excellence. Excellence is part of our brand. It's part of our values, you know? We do nothing short of wow.
Yeah.
What does that look like then? So we had to really make a decision. Is this something that we want to invest in? So anyway, that was the backstory of why we kind of started dreaming together a little bit. Like, how does this work in our company then? To build our own creative department? Yeah. Why?
Yeah.
Like, how does this help us hit our goals and help serve our clients?
So, well, I will say too, like, I mean, to add to what you're saying, like, I had a lot of pushback at the very beginning. You know, there was... It took me. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. At the time, obviously, it's difficult because I know what I see, I guess. And there's like a, you know, there's always this, you know, kind of play of like, you know, somebody that like you, you've kind of crafted this culture, and it's not your baby. I wouldn't call it your baby, but this. What would you call it? Like, again, it's like a labor of love in a lot of ways, right? For like,
yeah, you want to feel a level of pride in what you've done.
Yes.
That I'm like, I actually because feel you really
know it,
good. Yeah.
You know it a lot better than most people. You know what that kind of feels like, what it feels to be, you know, in the culture, whatever. And so I, with a few people, including you, there was a lot of like, you know, it took a lot of convincing, that I actually understood like accurately kind of like, you know, because I remember having those conversations of like, no, it is people first. But they're like, you know, I also had these other conversations with people that were like, no, it can't be too frill. Like, you know, like, because all the stuff leading up to the actual filming was me developing like, okay, like I'd go back, develop like look and feel and what I want it to be like. And then I'd come to the people in the actual company. Because at that point I wasn't an actual employee.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, this is what I'm thinking. And they'd be like, it still seems too, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
People firsty. And it's like, well, you know, but again, I just think, and this is, to me, this is kind of the revolutionary thing of that I think helps to almost like, you know, it's like this serendipitous kind of way that we're joined. Like Titus and me, because I think there's a very enterprising nature, right?
Yeah.
But there's this consciousness of the world around you. And that's the thing. I always have this sense of like, yeah, I want to be really creative. I want to dig into I was telling my buddy the other day, like, I love close-ups. Yeah. I'm getting to this point where like all I want to do is like stick a camera super close in someone's face when they're like having like just a moment. You know what I mean? You know, like when you see those like moments in like Dune or like these really awesome movies, and it just has this like, that's all you see is this person going through something. And you can see their eyes tear up, or, you know, like so that part of it is this like human side of like, I want to capture real, right? Authenticity, right?
Can we, like, during this podcast, can you, like, at this point, I want to zoom right in on your, like, eyeball.
Yeah, yeah,
please. As you're talking about this.
Gabe, please do that.
So.
right now. The kind of point was, like, so there's that side.
Yeah.
Right? And I really want that. But at the same time, like, I don't like when people almost like revel in their obscurity with art.
Yeah.
You know, I really don't like this avant-garde idea where like it's cool, but it doesn't make sense to anyone, you know?
Totally.
And there's no like people like you who like, you have a sensibility of art and you really like when something moves you, you are moved, right?
Yeah.
But like, I want people to to connect the dots, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to. I'm not making art for artists.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Totally. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm making art so that we can all kind of understand. Like, people that maybe don't understand things a certain way. Like, I want to. Like, I mean, that's why video is awesome. There's totally. So many different things that you can like develop to then create this holistic view of something, right?
Yeah.
And that is like in the business setting is very hard, and it's very rare.
Yeah.
And I think the reason why this works is because Titus is also committed, not just like on a, you know, lip service basis,
right?
But actually committed to, yeah, profits. I mean, we're going to kill goals, right? Yep. But there's always this overarching vision, right? Mm-hmm. Of and purpose.
Yeah.
That like you said, it's like, how are we going to give back and actually do what we want as people?
Yeah.
Like meaning wise.
Yeah.
Without growing and learning how to be more excellent and you know, yeah. So that's always in my mind. And so yeah. I think there's a, like I said, a synergy there somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Then I think that's why it's worked up until this point.
And it's bringing me out lots of memories of the things that were going on in my head. Like, oh, we can't do this now. We're not ready. I'm like, oh, but I have some weight goals. I'd like to lose, you know, a few pounds, you know, the camera adds on, you know, 50 pounds. So
50?
No, I just want people to think that I'm 50 pounds lighter than I am. If they're looking at this on YouTube. Oh, he must be 50 pounds lighter than that. I bet his face is really chiseled.
I could do for 30. I don't want 50.
No, but I'm like, oh, I don't want to do this yet. Yeah. I don't want to, you know, like, yeah. Even just in this room right now, I'm like, this next time we're on a podcast, well, soon, this will be like, look totally different because I want it to be better. Yeah. I don't like this wall here. Brilliant. It's got to be better, you know. And
by the way,
so,
guys, it looks awesome. Okay.
Well, sure, whatever. But I want it more and more excellence. But sometimes that can be an enemy to us because we don't want to launch something, we don't start something until it's exactly how we want it to be.
So we don't start.
I mean, we had a client, very, very well known brand, you know, like premium brand in their space, which we were looking to do a culture video for. And the reason they said no at the end, they said we're actually gonna hold back on this video is because of the employees that we have are not like, we want more diversity in our videos. So we're going to hold on it because we're not happy with where we're at right now. Mm. So if we capture it now, it won't really show that. And we don't want to have actors in here. I was like, I mean, I get where you're coming from. I totally get it. But the reality is that is your company culture right now.
Yeah.
You can tell, but you have to tell a real story. Where are we at today? Where do we want to be?
Yeah.
And I think that was, there's another tension as well, because totally. I can live in the future and I can live in this kind of this ideal, like this is where I aspire to be. But, so I don't want people to know the real story today. And we do it when we're really small companies, we try and make ourselves look bigger and more impressive. And then you kind of get your legs, you know, get more experience and the story is actually true now. And now you want to tell the story now. But I'm like, well, we're never going to have arrived.
Yeah.
You know, we're always wanting more and we always want things to be better. So when do you start this stuff? And I'm all in on like, just get going. Let's just tell stories. Let's tell stories of what we're doing. Let's tell stories of what other people are doing. I mean, you and I dream about these things. I'm like, we have, I don't know, a couple of thousand clients who are changing the world and some of them doing some really great stuff. And I'm like, hey, how do we tell their stories for them?
Yeah.
Because we've gone all in on creative. They might not be there yet, but how do we tell that story for them? Because it's not just about us. Like, what do we gain from? I don't really care about that. How do we make the good? How do we shine light on good?
Yeah. Yeah. And the cool thing is that it can be mutually beneficial. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like we've talked even recently just about like when for Titus, one of our things is like, we are committed to helping like the whole idea of like, to, you know, what's the, to help companies make the best, you know, decisions, you know, like all that whole thing, like that is a real thing and it's not just lip service. So even in this scenario, like when I go, you know, when we commit to doing a culture video, I want to find the real story, you know, and like there may be like, I'm thinking in my mind, I'm like, well, somebody might give us a lot of money to do something.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like, their company might not be like the most amazing, you know, I did these two last companies and they were great, you know, like amazing people and that kind of thing. Which in my mind, I'm like, maybe isn't that rare, you know?
Yeah.
But I think part of my commitment is to actually, yes, be authentic.
Yeah.
But also like dig into like sometimes like real, sometimes real can be hard, but it's also like,
well, it's attractive, isn't it? Authenticity is attractive. Yeah. Like the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah.
Golly, you really think there's a perfect company out there? Exactly. There's not. That's Do you think there's a perfect person out there? There's not.
Yeah. And so the idea is to, yeah, I'm not gonna go in and be like, yeah, like, you know, be like a some kind of gotcha journalist or something.
Yeah.
But I am going to try and figure out, okay, what is like genuinely, what is beautiful and excellent? Yep. About this company. I'm going to find it.
Yeah.
I'm going to highlight it. And because again, there's going to be, especially with like our commitment to working with people, working with partners who we align with.
Yep.
It's like that there's going to be something, you know what I mean? And so, I'm not into like we were saying, like the used car salesman, like, come on down to Hootie Toots, you know,
Hootie Toots. Where's this dealership? Because I want to go visit them. That's great.
Anyway, but I guess there is a level of selling the company. Yeah. I'm not saying there isn't because you need profits, right?
Totally.
But again, it's the same thing. It's through and through everything we're doing, right?
Yeah.
It's this profits, yes, but the overarching idea of people first.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I have not talked to you about this. Yesterday, we. I had an interesting call with one of our clients. We worked for probably 5 years, continuously for the last 5 years. And it just came to a point where we both agreed that we've grown apart. It wasn't going well. And I'm like, I don't know if we're a good aligned partner for you anymore. And we agreed. And there'd been some things that had not gone well. Some things on our part, some things on their part. And I'm like, is it worth keep fighting for this thing? And I'm like, and I went back to our mission. We exist to equip companies to make the best attraction, hiring, engagement, and development decisions, like so that they can hit their goals. And so I'm thinking, how do I help this guy? He's the president, founder of a company, and it's a good company in many ways. No, it's a great company. Across the whole region of the United States, they're in roofing. It's a roofing company. And I was like, I just don't know if we're the right fit to help you with hiring at the point. But I'm like, how do I leave this guy and still hold to my value of why I exist as a company? Yeah. We exist for this. Like, how do I leave him with a gift that equips him?
God.
Like, how do I leave him that? So saying, hey, we're growing apart. Cool, bye. I want him to, when he sits with a bunch of other business owners, I want him to be like, oh, you got talent issues? You need to talk to Titus. Like, how do I get that? How do I say, we're firing you, you're firing us, whatever. We're going our separate ways. But I want you to still speak highly of us. How do I get that?
Right.
And so I'm thinking, gosh, I mean, what is this equipping that I'm going to leave him with? And I just said, hey, you got to stop thinking like being a roofing company and become a talent company. And he's like, what do you mean? I'm like, it's all about that. Like, how are you going to hit your growth goals as a company unless you start thinking like a talent company?
Right.
Like, you've got to think about attracting the best people, developing the best people, engaging those people, getting the most out of those people, find out what are their dreams and hopes, and really kind of use their desires to help propel and hit your company goals. And he was like, oh, that is good. Write that down. And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, I think, and he goes, well, how do I do that? And I said, well, you know, you still need to hire people. And by the way, I'll be a bit raw here. The issue is commission salespeople. It's something that we don't do very well. Titus, like, I've come to the conclusion that we don't do a very good job recruiting 100% commission salespeople. We're just not really good at it. Partly because I'm like, we hire A players who crush goals. Mm. Where are these A players who are crushing their commission, their quota, quitting their job and coming to join another competing company? I mean, that's one of the dynamics. So I'm like, why are we charging a service that I actually don't believe that we're going to do very well at? So totally. That's why we went our separate ways. Okay. So, all right. So fast forward. I'm like, how do I help him with this piece? Then I'm like, you got to tell story better, dude. Like, you do have some amazing people in great jobs and you want to attract more of those people. You need to become really, really much better at repelling the wrong people.
Yeah.
And he's like, what? You know, I'm like talent attraction and talent repelling. Like, you need to do that really, really well. Because yeah. you're investing money in salespeople that it's costing you.
That turnaround?
Yeah. I mean, that's just like, that's the problem. I'm like, hiring people that you're turning over after 90 days and it's costing you all the money to invest in them, the training and development, blah, blah, blah. So I'm like, you got to be better at repelling people. That's what we need to do. You're hiring us to go and attract people, but you need to be better at repelling the wrong people. And so, not just saying yes to hiring people. So, so I just talked about how do you tell? Well, you do it in video. You tell stories of exactly what your people do. It's a day in the life.
Then you sold them a culture video.
Yeah. I did. I said, listen, I actually believe that we could help you in this one. Find a good company that can do this for you.
Yeah.
Like, get, if you could bottle up the exact DNA and profile of the person you want to hire and the people that you want to hire to grow your business in the next 12 different states that you're growing in, like, that would, you're going to spend a heck of a lot less on recruiting and training and develop, you know, you're going to attract the right ones and repel the wrong ones.
Well, especially with what we've found with, you know, our culture videos already.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean,
it's such a through line. It's so easy, like a fast track for someone at a, especially a high level.
Yeah.
Who like doesn't want to, you know, doesn't want to spend the time to make the call, like
totally,
you know, to call other employees and be like, is it really like this?
Yeah.
You know,
totally.
It's like, it's a peering into like a real thing.
Yeah.
You know?
So I said, listen, here's seven videos that we've done, for us internally and for some of our clients that will help give you a sense of what we could do. But, anyway, well, not my point here today. My point was, how do we equip companies to make the best decision to attract the best people and repel the wrong people? And because we just did our own day in the life video, our culture video attracts the type of person we want, but there's in that mix as well, it attracts lots of people. They're like, "This is really good. This is really good. I want to be part of that."
Yeah.
And then what do I do every single day in my job? Like, yeah, I don't know. What am I doing every day? Like. We're doing this thing called high performance work. Like,
yeah.
We're doing this thing called results every day. We're doing this thing called excellence and beat the competition. Goals. That we have to deliver results because people are paying for that. And and it's kind of like, oh, I don't like that part. Well, how do we repel those ones? Well, one of the ways we do it is a day in life. Like, give me a sense of the type of way people go about their work.
More specific.
And people first. Like, we hire people who are awesome, amazing. We love them. They're committed to them, their families, their social, all of those dynamics. But they got to deliver results. And how do they do it? Each one does it slightly differently.
Yeah.
Different people, different personalities, different ways they do it. But they all commit to the same values of crushing stuff. But that's different for every company. Your DNA of your types of people. But how do you do that in story? I think that's another huge gift that the companies need to jump on board with. How do I attract the right people and how do I repel the wrong people to go, that's definitely not for me. You know, I can respect it. It looks attractive, but that's just not for me.
100%.
Like, there are certain clothing stores where I'm like, dude, I respect it. That's really awesome. It's just not for me. Yeah. I wouldn't look good in that outfit. Like, I think you look great in that outfit, but I don't look good in that outfit. I wish I did, but I don't. And I think, how do we do that with people as well? Like, that is awesome. I respect your company. Like, I, you know, I have friends who work there. That's a little bit too intense for me, or that's not intense enough, you know, for a lot of companies out there. We had this one word that was said in our Day of the Life video, and I was like, remove that word. I understand they said that word, and I understand they feel that way, but that I don't want that feeling to be communicated to potential candidates who might want to join us, because I don't want them thinking that when they arrive here, it's going to be that. It's not. I don't want that.
Yeah.
And it's fine. It's people on a journey, and they it takes time. It's why in onboarding is like an HR term for, like, you know, do your paperwork and all that kind of stuff. But it's really integration into your culture.
Yeah.
And it is amazing to see when you look around at the people around you, if they are really high powered, high level, you know, you'll rise to it.
Yeah.
People will rise to it if you put them in the right team and the right culture.
Yeah.
And that's, you got to have a great coach at the top, but it's, how you tell those stories is amazing. And I think stories cause people to rise. And video is a beautiful way of doing it.
Yeah. It just seems more accurate too.
You know,
it's, again, it's like, it goes back to that first culture video for me. It's like, there's such a, like, if you're careful in developing the story, there's this pinpoint accuracy of like, of, you know, how, again, I mean, in that case, it was how it feels to be, you know, at Titus, right?
Yeah.
And you know, this level of excellence mixed with this level of care, you know what I mean? And obviously not everyone will have those specific things, but it's so brings you in to, I mean, that's why it's so prevalent now, because, you know, people don't want to be told, they want to experience it, you know what I mean? And I think some of that is, again, self-indulgent.
Yeah.
It swings one way or the other, but I think when it's done well, it handles that balance really well. And I think the cool thing is that pairs really well with Titus because again, like we are at this pinnacle point where we have the ability to, if we run with the convictions of, you know, people and prophets, they're again, like you even alluded to, like, you made someone understand their need to basically be a Titus, you know, in so many words. I mean, you made them realize, you know, this person who has, you know, all this jurisdiction, all this stuff on their plate. You made them realize, like, they need this revolutionary thing.
Yeah.
That is a care for your people and an acknowledgement that it's not just prophets, because even if you just focus on prophets,
yeah,
you're going to be forgetting that people work there.
Totally.
Yeah. which then you have a people problem.
Yeah,
you
totally.
Know, you don't even have a prophets problem. You have a people problem first, you know?
Totally. So, because people become... A great story. I saw this little meme the other day. It was this business owner, and he pulled up to the office like in his Lamborghini, and it was like, that was my impression of a Lamborghini.
Sounds just like it.
Yeah.
Or a Civic.
Or a Civic with a muffler problem.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, so he pulls up into the parking lot, and like, there's this young new employee. Also getting his out of his Civic, you know, so he gets out of his Civic. So he chugged in, you know, and was like, "Whoa, boss, that's a sick car." And yeah, I'm sure that cost you a bit, didn't it? And he was like, "It did. Yeah, it really did. I love it. It's awesome." You know, the doors come out, the big wing, you know, amazing Lamborghini. And the boss's like, "Yeah, but here's the deal. If you work really, really hard, like really, really hard this year, overtime, I'm talking some serious overtime, and commit to our values and culture and our excellence and just go above and beyond it, you're gonna have to really push it. But if you do that, I'll buy myself another one next year." You know, like, and you're like, what? Obviously, it's really funny.
Yeah,
but
funny.
But the reality is, so many companies, you see that. You look at you kind of appear like, all right, how many boats do you have? How many this do you have? Now, do I actually principally have a problem with that? I'm like, hey, it's your company. You earn the money. You can do whatever you want with it. But we have a very, very conscious generation, socially conscious generation coming up, who's like, excuse me, I don't like that. But it's like, well, I don't like that. Well, what's your problem with that? Didn't they earn the money? Can't they do what they want with it? Yeah, I just want to know what they're doing with all their money.
Yeah.
Do they care about the things that I care about? Mm-hmm. And there is an attitude that some people can have, well, I want more money, you should give me more. Yeah. Come on now, we're not going down that road. Of course you want more money. I get that. But there's this aspect which is like, hey, can you it's care about the things that I care about?
Yep.
It's not about paying me more money, but if you have that much money to be able to do those things, do you also care about this not-for-profit that, you know, we're involved with, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And you think, I know there's another whole topic for another day, just on generosity and how we can use what we have to make the world a better place. But a giving strategy around those things. But it's not just a giving strategy, but it's a storytelling strategy.
Yeah.
Because stories mean things, and those the meaning then turns into a feeling of, I like this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm willing to work really hard.
Yeah.
Like, I don't mind working really hard, being committed to results, going to the extra mile, committed to excellence, and putting overtime. I don't mind all of that.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to know that I'm not doing it to buy you another Lamborghini.
Totally.
Like, yeah. That doesn't get me going.
Yeah.
I don't know anyone who talks about their company culture and goes, man, you know what I love about my company? It's just the culture is amazing people. They're just so good. And we just love the founder so much. We all go above and beyond because he wants to have a whole boat fleet, you know, of yachts. And he wants to have one in Montenegro. He wants to have one in Naples. He wants to have one. And we just love him so much. And so how do we get there faster?
That sounds like a cult. I think I've seen that on Netflix.
But it's like, that doesn't get me going. I don't get excited by that. I'm like, I want to be a part of something that's going somewhere, whether we're selling widgets or in manufacturing, like something that's like, might not seem like a really sexy thing that kind of grabs hold of the young generation coming through. They want to work there. But it's about something that, what I do, like there's a meaning behind it and a purpose behind it. And like, how do you bottle that up that make it really attractive? Whatever it is you're doing, some companies do it tremendously well, and some companies don't even think about it. But it is a part of talent strategy. Having the strategy in there, being intentional about it, but also then tell stories. How do we tell more stories that attract talent and cause to retain those talent, engage them, that they want to give more?
Yeah.
Because they see that we're giving more.
Yeah.
I'll give more of me if I see that we're giving more to actually the causes that matter. Mm-hmm. And I think how we make it personal. So we've made a commitment, and I've made a commitment too. It's like, we're not only just going to commit to our original giving journey of generosity is what we called it. And we call it lots of things, actually. Give global. It's beyond ourselves.
We'll narrow it down at some point.
Yeah. I need somebody to help with this brand. Anyway, but yeah, that's partly why we took the whole company down to go and build homes.
Yeah.
And we're going to do it again in May, which I'm really excited about. A little bit backstory. So a few years back, 5 years ago or so, I was invited to by a good friend, or now a good friend. I just met her. She owned a company in Indianapolis, bumped into me and said, hey, have you ever done a home build? And I was like, no, like I'm not a builder. And she's like, no. And she tells me about this home build. She's like, oh, a bunch of us go down to Mexico and we work with this not-for-profit down there, Homes of Hope, and we're going to go build a house for a family in need. And I'm like, sign me up. I'm doing it. Let's go. So I took my whole family down there, and I was like, I am like so gripped by this thing. And if I like something, I want to tell everyone about it. So, and it's not that I want to tell everyone. I want, because I love experiences, I want to be there when they experience it. Totally. So let me take you. And they're like,
you want to compel them to do it.
Like, oh, I went to this amazing restaurant. I will take you there. You know, like, I'm like, I'll just go on my own, thanks. I'm like, no. I will take you. I want to watch you while you eat it. You know, the food is amazing.
It's good, right?
It's kind of like, maybe it wasn't as good as you told me, but okay. But anyway, so I'm like, yeah, I want to go. I'm going to commit to every year, take my family down here. It's great. Awesome. Great experience. I'm like, I got to take the whole company down here. So next year, the year after that, we took the whole company. And so right before pandemic, we took the whole company down to Mexico. We built three homes together. It's awesome, wild experience. And it was not unmoved emotionally. There was nobody on our team like, couldn't take it or leave it. They were like, that was life changing.
Yeah.
And their big question for many of them was, how do I get my family down here? Yes. It's changed me. I would like to have my family's lives be impacted. Fast forward, we said we'll do it every few years, so we're going again next year. But in the middle of all that, we had this other point in time where one of our clients, they said, hey, you know, hook me up with some Super Bowl tickets. You know, Super Bowl tickets? What? Hey, Super Bowl tickets, you know. It was almost like, hey, you want to buy me a Lamborghini? You know, like, no, I'm not buying you a Lamborghini. Mm-hmm. Buy your own bloody Lamborghini. You know, and I'm like, yeah, I will do to appreciate you for your longstanding partnership and all of the money you spend with us is I'll take you to Mexico and we'll build houses together. You know, like, it's kind of take me to Mexico, like a nice resort, 5-star resort. Nope, not at all. I'm going to take you and we're going to, you know, kind of sweat. We're going to cry. We're going to go and do something together that's actually going to be more meaningful. It will change your life. You don't think you want this, but I'm going to take you anyway. Yeah. Oh, and bring your teenage kid as well because it'll change their life.
Yes.
And it was like, what? What just came out of my mouth, and I'm like, we got to do this. Like, let's just take a bunch of our clients. We call them partners, but let's take a bunch of our partners down there on this thing. And so we just got back last month. Was it last month? It was, yeah, ish. We got back from this trip, and it was epic, you know, taking a bunch of our clients with plus ones. We had teenagers there. So awesome. We had spouses. We had colleagues. And we're all there, and we built homes together. And It was just life changing. And but the point here is it aligned with our values. Why do we exist as a company? Yes. It isn't actually to, you know, scratch your back and give you little perks and benefits. And I like, you know, thanks for all of these little gifts you give me and trinkets to whatever. That's not why we exist. We exist to make the world a better place by generosity and being purposeful in our giving. And so it was a very epic trip. And I'm like, okay, I went back and I thought, how do I do 5 of these next year? You know, how do I do more? How do we do more to take those people who mean so much to us, our partners, our clients?
Yeah.
We exist to make them really good at this. And if I can show them what we're actually about and inspire them to go, I feel compelled. We need a giving strategy.
Yep.
We need a change the world strategy, whether it be just our local community or if it's Give Global like Titus, but like it's actually something that goes. And since that trip, I probably got 2 or 3 emails in my inbox right now going, I need help. Like, we need help figuring this thing out because we're trying to figure out what that thing is that's us, that aligns with our values, but we can do that can compel our people. I'm like, yes, you get it. You know? Yeah. So I was like, oh, we're going to do a bunch of these. So when I fast forward to 5-10 years down the road, I'm thinking, how do we measure impact? Not for our own, like our own kind of like, look at us, we did a good job.
Yeah.
But if you don't measure it, you have a goal. What's the goal of impact? Yep. And so Titus Creative, as it is today, will be we want to go down the road. We want to make a movement and we want to get people kind of on board with this movement of giving and generosity and make the world a better place and impact. And if we can do that, I'll be really happy. And I'm glad that I get to do it with you because you get it. And you're not only do you get it and understand it cerebrally, you are a master storyteller and your team that you're building to do this thing is going to be an absolute gift for our partners. So I think probably our biggest hindrance is, you know, we dream really big. Like, whoa, okay, we're doing this thing for Netflix now, a whole like series, and there's a whole documentary we got around, you know. Yeah. But I won't spoil all those things. So, Netflix, we're coming for you. It's the reason we do these things is we want to equip companies to just be better and do a more excellent job of attracting talent, hiring talent, engaging those talent, developing those talent, and meeting their goals.
Yeah.
But we genuinely believe that there is an aspect of storytelling that that we have figured out. And like everything at Titus, if it works well for us, why wouldn't they want it? So we offer it to our clients. So we'll keep it. This is not an hour-long commercial, but it's something we believe in.
Yeah.
And it's always helpful to people to understand the backstory because like, we get a lot of people go, oh, I love that video. Who did you use? And I'm like, well, we didn't use anyone. It's in-house because we believe in this bigger than...
Yes.
It's in-house because we believe in it.
That's the issue.
Yeah. It's not...
It's not lip service.
Yeah.
It's not us figuring out how to corner the market.
Yeah.
It's actually like... I mean, Titus committed to me. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I have a story about that, you know, so I think, yeah, it's not just profits. Again, it's like this whole thing of, it's great.
Cool. Well, it's good to have you here, Nick. I'm thankful that we are friends. I love it. Like I start talking at the beginning about like, yeah, we've known each other. We've been working together for a year and a half. And you're like, dude, we've been friends for 16 years. Why are you acting like I'm some stranger guest on here? That's funny. I love you.
Love you, too.
Always have.
Well, see you.
That's good. Till next time.
Yep.
Well, you're on there every time because you'll be behind the camera most of the time.
I'm back there.
Yeah.
Okay, see ya.
Everywhere. That's how good he is. He can make podcasts and be in the podcast. It's cool. All right.